Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
What's happening, folks? Welcome to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. Doc Talks up next. Let's rile things up. And happy, happy, good evening to you folks. It's me, Gene, of the TPO's Doc Talk podcast. Tonight's episode, of course, the podcast being brought to you by Battleborn Tackle, your online tackle retailer. Go check them out, Battleborn Tackle, at Battleborn Tackle, hashtag Battleborn Tackle out there. Let's get that thing fired up. This is a veteran-owned small business. If you enjoy supporting those, check out the prices, man. Not only are his prices extremely competitive out there, and sometimes, and most of the times, as good if not better, but it's the free shipping, dude, at Battleborn that you got to check out, man. If you've shipped anything in today's market, you know that is a huge expense. So if you can get your tackle with no shipping on there, check it out, man. Go check them out at battleborntackle.com. You can thank me later. Tonight's episode, angler interview series, super, super cool deal here. We're gonna roll straight into this. Do keep in mind, this is a pre-recorded episode. This is not live. It's a pre-recorded episode for you of one of the angler interviews we did a while back through this. And so any discrepancies there, like with the weather references and things of that nature, it's because we did this a little bit while back. But Casey Day is who it is from the Iowa leagues that are up there. It's a super, super fun, really informative, cool, cool interview. Sit back. We hope you enjoy. And be sure to smash that subscribe button. That is a huge, huge help for us. Subscribe, like, follow at True Patriot Outfitters, at Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. Enjoy the show, folks. We got a dude with us here. There's some cool news coming out of the Midwest, folks. Iowa has been known to put out some pretty sound anglers. And they've had several clubs over the course of the years that have been operating and very successfully operating. Well, in a very, very cool maneuver, we saw two clubs join together and actually realize that they could get stronger and have better offerings for their anglers by working together. I know. Now, there's a concept, right, that a few people in this country could grab a hold of. You don't always have to be adversarial with each other. You can actually work together. Weird, I know. So one of the guys that was orchestrated behind that, I know there were several people involved, but one of the guys that really helped bring all that together was Mr. Casey Days. Let's go ahead and bring him onto the show here. What's happening, Casey? How you doing, man?
Good, Gene. How are you?
You know, trying to stay enough warm from this Arctic blast that just came across the entire country. I assume you guys are getting it too.
Oh yeah, it's miserable outside right now.
Yeah,
it's cold enough. I don't even want to go ice fishing, and I haven't caught a fish in 3 months.
Wow. Well, I never want to go ice fishing. I told myself this year I was going to give it a shot, but you know, we'll have to see. I'm going to have to. It's going to have to be the right people. I've got a couple ice rods here. You know, I work with Clam Outdoors. I work with Eagle Claw. I've got the gear. You know, I can get after it. But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, dude, this weather here was beyond the ice fishing. This was like negative, like feels like negative 30, negative 40 stuff. That's just not made for human conditions.
No, not the least bit.
How much snow did you guys get up there in Iowa?
I think we got about 2 feet where I'm at.
Holy, 2 feet. Okay, you win.
It's what it looks like anyway outside.
2 feet, 9, it doesn't matter. No. At that point, it's hard to shovel.
Yeah. A lot of shoveling last week.
Now, where exactly are you, or what town are you located in?
So I live in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Good stuff. Well, ma'am, we had you on here because there was some cool stuff that you guys are doing up there. Mm-hmm. Two successful clubs. Both clubs looked like they were pretty healthy and doing good on numbers. Things were looking good. And you guys just realized, you know what? We can do this cleaner. We can do this better. You know, talk me through that. What was the, what prompted the bringing, because the two clubs we're talking about are IYAK and then the Iowa Kayak Anglers, IKA. You guys came together to form what is now the Iowa Kayak Fishing Club. And so talk me through how, where that, what motivated that and how'd that come to be?
So originally there was only, IKA. And then 4 years ago, a couple of anglers decided they wanted to form their own club, which is where IYAK spawned from. And while it provided more opportunities for anglers on the water, it kind of put a division down the state. And while, you know, providing opportunity to fish is never a bad thing, but the separation was. And my goal of getting people back together was to have, you know, better turnouts at tournaments. Like, everybody loves to fish, everybody loves to go win money, but it was honestly two completely separate groups of anglers that more or less had nothing to do with the issues that caused the division in the first place. So having two clubs was counterproductive to growing angling in the state.
Right.
And what I wanted to do was be able to bring all the anglers back together, because you have, like, IKA had a lot of newer anglers, and IYAK had a lot of more seasoned anglers, the ones that kind of travel and do things with the All-American and fish bigger trails. And you can't learn that way. Like, if you're a new angler and you're in there with 15 other new anglers, it's kind of the blind leading the blind versus having people that can actually help and guide you and explain how, even just how to tie a different knot, like not even a bait selection or like breaking down water, but just the basics.
Sure.
And
well, you know, and that's a big deal in the kayak side of things too, man. And especially in tournament angling, what I've noticed on the kayak community is that people are openly willing to share information with folks if they're interested. Mm-hmm. You know, there isn't, you get a few guys that play their cards close to the chest, right? But for the most part, people are like, nah, man, this is the bait I'm using, and I'm over there throwing it. That's what I'm doing. And yeah, it's they're jumping on my bait for whatever reason. And it's just I don't know. I don't want to say that they don't take it as serious, because they absolutely do. The competition level is every bit as high as it was on the boat side, but there's just a more relaxed competition, and people I think in the kayak community want to see our sport and our anglers grow with it. So it's, yeah, that's a cool thing, man, that you guys were focused on that right there in Iowa.
Yep. Thank you.
Oh, do I still have you?
Yeah.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Thought we had a little delay there. Well, cool stuff. Good stuff. So you guys basically You guys see the opportunity that you want to jump on, that you can join these things together. And what did the logistics look like between those, between the two clubs trying to put that together?
Honestly, it wasn't that hard. So the two people that ran, IKA Scott Schrader and Clay Cross, Scott was actually the first person to ever take me ice fishing. So I've known him, and we, him and I have been on good terms since I got into kayak angling. And Clay Cross and I fish partner boat tournaments together. So like
that helps.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was really just sitting down one night, having a couple of beers and going, you know, are we done working against each other and are we ready to work together? And that's kind of how it went. I mean, there wasn't any long drawn out process, and it was just like, hey, this is what we're doing this week. Cool. Now it's one club, and we've just gone that way.
You know, on the banks of the Mississippi and La Crosse, it's exactly how the All-American Kayak Series was formed, man. You know, there were some guys that were thinking, you know, we could do this across, you know, there was a, I think it was called the Midwest Kayak Fishing League that was started and was supposed to be, you know, it was going to be what the All-American is today. Yeah. And then for whatever reason, logistics, time, life got in the way, and it was unable to get there. But the guys that used to fish that decided, you know what? And one of the guys right there, you know, in Iowa himself, Mr. Tyler Cole, you know, was right at the heart of that, of helping make the All-American, put it on the map and get us rolling.
Oh yeah.
So that's cool, man. When you see that, when it's some people that just decide, you know what? We're going to do a thing.
And that's get it. Just what it was.
That's so cool. That is so cool. So you guys, that they ran what, the IKA, is that what they were dealing with?
Yes, sir. They ran IKA.
And you were with IAC, is that how it was?
Yeah, I took over IAC after its inaugural season, and then I ran IAC for 2 years, honestly, with the sole intention of trying to bring everything back together.
Because that's awesome.
Having two clubs that have 20-person tournaments doesn't really do anything for either club. Like, and the majority of anglers only fished one series. Joe Bailey, Super Joe Bailey, and I were the only ones that fished both series in the state. So you have, right, you know, 50 anglers fishing, and only two of them are going between the clubs. So it seemed kind of pointless.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man, that, you know, you had a vision with it. You went after it. I mean, that's what it takes. It takes that leadership to piece that together. So now we are formed. We have the Iowa Kayak Fishing Club. You guys are out there. And this will be this is your inaugural first season as a joint merger club together. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Sweet.
Yep, our first tournament's at Lake Rathbun 2 weeks before the Classic.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. You guys are firing it up. All right. Oh, yeah. You, what are your – Iowa in April, it's a doable thing?
It's chancy. Right? It's not for the faint of heart. It's always an interesting tournament. I never know if we're going to have a good day, a bad day, or a snowstorm, and we've had all of them. People were out there last year chucking chatterbaits in a blizzard and catching giant fish. Like, it's just, you know, it's angler's discretion. If you don't feel comfortable, please stay off the water. But at the same time, if you want to go fishing, have a day.
Yeah.
And so it's doable. I always try to pick a southern lake in the state just so I can try to have the weather on my side. And we just hope for the best and go from there.
And you need a company like this that can help you with staying warm when you're out there. That's where I got lucky, man. We had one last year here in Colorado. We went to Chatfield Res. Temperatures, you know, all leading. Colorado weather is so stupid because of the mountains. You know, it's like the stuff literally, they call for something and it hits us, just a strip of the state, and then, you know, it doesn't hit others. Well, dude, we got hit. The temperature dropped. The snow was going sideways. We're out there in kayaks. Literally, our braided line is freezing in the eyelets. You're dipping your line, you know, to try to be able to cast and do anything. It was absolutely miserable out there in that, like I said, below 30 stuff. And so, yeah, The only thing that was good there is, like I said, I have a strong company behind me that gets me that storm gear, man, and I stayed nice and toasty myself, but my fishing pole needed some storm gear, I'll tell you that.
That happens. That sounds like fishing in Texas with the All-American a couple years ago.
Right? Palestine, wasn't it?
It was Palestine?
Yeah, Palestine. I thought the weather turned pretty squirrely on the everybody.
Oh, yeah. I had to drive through a blizzard to get to Texas to go fishing in 30 degree weather.
You don't think we love this sport?
Oh, boy. I think that was like everybody's worst tournament. Anybody you talked to that was there was just not having a good time.
Kevin Swan won that, if I remember right.
Did Swan win that?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Swan pulled through, man. That dude, he'll fish through a hurricane. He don't care.
No, he doesn't.
Long hair don't care, baby. Oh, Kevin, he'll get after it.
To talk to.
Yeah, he is. That's awesome stuff, man. So talk to me about a little bit about this season's, where you guys, what your schedule's looking like up there with the club. Where are you guys going? What's it look like? How deep do you go into the summer and that good stuff?
Oh, all right. Put me on the spot. Let's see. First tournament is Rathbun.
Okay. That'll
be middle into April.
Roger. Yep.
Second one is Okoboji with you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Third one is a Roadrunner, Morris Ellis Redhaw.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Sweet.
It's three tiny little lakes that have just monsters in it. It's so much fun. Like, if you ever get a chance to come up and fish one of those, do it.
I'll have to look at that. A Roadrunner, you said?
Yep.
I'll look at your schedule and see where that's at, because I was only, that's about a 10-11 hour run for me, which is not bad. I'm used to that.
They're small lakes. You know, hopefully the anglers spread out. I can see, I think I know where the majority of them will be, but there's bigs in all of them, and it's a fun and easy place to fish.
That's awesome.
See, we're gonna go to the Mississippi the week after you guys are there. We're doing 9, 10, and 11, so just to get some different pools in.
Prairie du Chien, yeah, that's fun down there. I actually like 10 personally. There's some cool areas that I've found fishing that a lot of guys don't find, and it's a lot of fun.
It's a good section of water. There's actually a boat series that focuses solely on 10.
Nice.
Called the No Nonsense series. Yeah. They usually draw about like 80 to 100 boats a tournament on that.
Wow.
Team. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. And then we have a 2-day championship on two separate lakes, 12 Mile and Green Valley. So they're very right cool. Next to each other. So you'll fish one day, and then we'll fish the next lake the next day. So it's, you have to figure it out all over again.
Right. Those are tricky. When you do those 2 days, two different lakes things, those can get tricky. We've done a couple of those with back in my boat days in the ABA. We did those up by the Twin Cities. There's, you know, lakes are so close together up there. And yeah, man, that changes your whole practice game plan when you do that.
Mm-hmm. I think the best thing to do is just not to practice and show up and fish those. Right. I mean, if you're on, say you're fishing like the opposite lake, pre-fishing it Friday, and then it has a day and a half to sit, and you show up, and it's like, it's going to change.
Yeah.
The weather's going to change. Lake conditions are going to change. The fish are going to, you know, not necessarily move, but like, they're not going to be exactly the same. Like, so some days I think it's just better just to show up the day of and go, I have no idea, but I'm going to figure it out. And just go.
How much in Iowa there? How much do smallies play? I mean, is it like Minnesota where it's, you know, 50-50 half the time?
It depends on where you're at. Yeah. So we had a tournament with IAC at the Wapsie River. And if you've never fished the Wapsie, it's different. And it's loaded full of smallmouth. And I got caught saying that 90 inches of smallies would win that day. Well, the river was 3 feet high, and the weather, this and that, and the other thing. And I think Tyler Cole won it with around 83. But we were out in a certain section 2 weeks prior to the tournament, and I caught an 18 and a 19 behind Tyler and another one of his buddies, and watching them do the same thing. So, like, accumulatively, we caught 93 inches that day.
Right.
In about 2 hours. So, like, it's
wow.
It's doable if you have the right water conditions. Smallies aren't in every lake. They're in most rivers. And they can definitely play on the right day.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like 50-50. I mean, the one thing that the fish in La Crosse area quite a bit taught me is just I never bank on smallies, man. They're such a nomadic little bastard. But they're so fun to catch. I love they're just another level of a predator, you know, that's out there. And yeah, man, the fight that's in those things is unbelievable. And I've had one of the most amazing off a rock spine in the Mississippi pool nine, catching smallies with a brown chatterbait. Pulling it right down there, and they were attacking the hell out of that chatterbait, coming with the current, coming right at their face, you know. So it's I used my anchor mode, just kind of holding the current there, and just threw it up and let it come right back at them. And yeah, that's but you can never, you know, like you said, you find them there one day, you go there the next day, and they're gone.
Yeah,
they packed up, no trace, you know, no nothing left behind. They're out of there.
Yeah, like you said, you can't count on them on game day. Mm-hmm. And while I will go fun fishing, like, I don't even actually try to find smallmouth when I'm pre-fishing, because it doesn't do you any good.
right.
you might have a fun, like, pre-fishing, but you'll have a horrible tournament when it comes time.
Let them just be gravy on tournament day, right? If you land on them on tournament day, it's like, hey, here we go, surprise.
That happens. That does happen.
Good stuff. Well, cool, man. So, you guys, how long does your season roll? You guys start in April, and so when is your championship?
We fish April to October. So sweet. We have 6 regular season events, and then a championship.
Nice.
I allowed 2 drops, not one like most people. So I give you a chance to have a couple bad tournaments, have life, have something happen. Maybe you don't
really
cross to the other side of the state. Like, I get it.
Yep. You know?
And then, so we do best 4 out of 6, and then the championship points. And that's how we do our angler of the year.
That is awesome. So you take your best 4, and then you add the championship event to that?
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yep. That's identical to the what we do with the All-American, man. That's, you know, I mean, when you're running a statewide club, you know, like a regional size club, it's important that you become very flexible. I mean, you want to maintain high competition, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same note, you want to make it easier for people to join your club and fish, right? I mean, it's kind of important to keep that. Well, national level, a lot of times, they're not so concerned about that. They set the standard and the competition level that here it is, come get it if you want it. Well, that was one of the things that we changed on the All-American side was we're national in the fact that we're going from the upper reaches, nearly Canada, mm-hmm. you know, of Wisconsin all the way to Texas, dude. So, I mean, while we may stay right in the center of the U.S., we're just as national as anybody else, you know, any other series out there. But we wanted to find ways to make it easier to come fish with us because we know we're not a pro circuit. There really isn't a pro circuit technically out there, but we're not trying to compete with Bass and Hobie, you know. We're comfortable right where we're at, being a Midwest national series. We know the level of hooks that show up to these events, man, are just some of the best in the country, and it's phenomenal, and they're great people to hang out with. But yeah, dude, it's a, you know, you try to find ways to make it easier to come compete, be flexible with them. But yeah, that's how what we're doing is we're taking the best, you know, we have the same number of events going on. So that's super cool because we have six regular season and our seventh is a championship.
Yep. And then we also run an online point series.
Oh, sweet.
For people that, you know, can't get to live events or still want to qualify or fish for money and fun in some capacity. So that runs April through September. And nice. Then the points winner of that gets a free entry into the championship. So it's a gateway into getting into tournaments. So like if you're not comfortable doing, you know, in-person events, you can fish online and then you can win your way in. And, you know, and then you can qualify for the All-American and go from fishing online to fishing, you know, the championship. The
actual Heck yeah.
Classic.
Heck yeah. Which is, I mean, hands down, one of the biggest events in the entire U.S., dude. I mean, last year we were 196. Last year, we're anticipating this year a low conservative guesstimate right now is 225. I would not be surprised if we didn't crack that 250 mark this year. And yeah, dude, just a ton of money. Of course, the club, you know, stuff that we hand out with it. So that's, dude, you guys are doing it right out there, and you're setting this up with the angler in mind. If you don't mind me asking, do you get a chance to compete in these events as a director, or do you choose not to?
So for the 2 years that I had IAC, I would sit out. I drive to the event, talk to everybody, hang out in the morning while they're getting gear ready, and then I'd go sit at a picnic table and judge fish at the event for, you know, the entire day and then hand out awards and go home. There were times after, like, I could be, like, statistically eliminated from points that I might go fish an event. Or if it was a double event with another club, then I would go fish, you know, to show reciprocity. But otherwise, honestly, I hate fishing my own events. It's stressful. I can't focus just being an angler when you get, you know, 5-10 phone calls about issues or you have somebody else judging. Like I always have another judge. It's not me looking at the fish. And then, but they still have questions and you still have to help and figure it out. So this year is going to be the first season that I'm going to fish the entire season with our anglers. We have two directors. Clay Cross is with me.
Nice.
His dad or my wife will judge all the events. So we won't have access to it during our time on the water. And hopefully it's okay. Like, you know, I understand some of the issues people may or may not have had in the past, but, and I'm sympathetic to that because I wouldn't want anybody stealing my spots either. I get it. But I want to go fishing.
Sure.
You know, I drive there. I put all the money and time in. I pre-fish with everybody else. But on game day, it's like I'm there to do my job as a tournament director. And yeah. If people are upset about it, one, you know, you should probably think about where you're putting your money or who you have in charge then. If you don't trust the director that is in your club. And two, like, honestly, I've run other organizations before. I get it. My sole purpose to be there is to be a director and not an angler at that time. So if I have to get off the water because it's bothering, you know, the majority of my anglers and putting the club at jeopardy, like, I'm out, man. Like, it's fine. Like, I'll get off the water. I'll stop fishing. It's not a huge deal.
Yep. No, dude, I 100% share this. My personal opinion on this, you know, is very flat and forward. Number one, if you are uncomfortable with on a local level,
mm-hmm.
you know, what I mean, you know, a local state level club, if you're uncomfortable with the director fishing because you don't trust their integrity, then my response to that is get the hell out of that club.
Agreed.
You clearly, you know, if you think that. Now, if there's evidence that supports it, well, then your club's the problem. Club should get rid of the director and bring somebody new in. You know, I know me personally, brother, I would never throw my money at some place or some club if I thought that there was something squirrely going on there. You know, now, and that's what kind of brought me to with the All-American deal here. I don't have access to any of those tournaments when it comes to the judging side. I'm a talking head. Okay, like I'm gonna be there to help the anglers, you know, run the captain's meetings, do those things, and be at the awards banquet, which is why it kind of left open for me the chance to fish him. But then we got a few other things that we're going to be doing at the same time. And to be honest with you, I just don't ever want to get in that position where I'm up there doing awards and I'm talking, you know, on. We want to maintain the national level side of the All-American, you know, to that level.
Right.
But having said that, like our local club here, one of our local clubs here in Colorado, the Colorado Kayak Bassmasters, it wouldn't be the same if Jim Strawbridge wasn't on the water with us out there. You know what I mean? It's like, no, we trust him 100%. Same with the CKFC. If Jeremy Pierce wasn't out there, it's like, well, shit, it's just not a bass tournament then if you don't have these guys on the water, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's a different deal, but it's a funny thing that we get, you know, as tournament direction, you get put in, right? You gotta balance that shit out.
A lot of hats. No, right? I abstained until the anglers that were in my club were upset that I was not fishing with them.
Right.
Like, okay, here we are. Then I can get back on the water. Like if they're more mad that I'm not out there, just so they can't hold the tournament wins over my head at the end of the day. It's fine.
Dude, it's a win if you beat JB. All right. That's all there is. Just place better than JB and life is good.
Oh, are you talking? Which so are you talking about Joe Bailey or Jeremy Brandis?
Jeremy Brandis.
All right, just to be clear.
Yeah, man, I met Jeremy and Tim. I hadn't been doing the national scene very long at all. I hadn't been in but maybe 2-3 kayak events. I had just come over from the boat world, and I was in Wilson, Kansas.
Yeah,
we were there at Lake Wilson. My first night, I rolled into town. A setup. The weather was like the Amazon, dude. I was sweating like Mike Tyson in a spelling bee. You know, I get my camp and everything all set up. Stupid microburst Kansas storm comes through that night, completely annihilates my tent, jams, just destroys the whole thing. So I'm like, screw this, dude. I got like 30 minutes of sleep that night, and I got to go practice for a full day. You know, now it's Thursday. So I clean up camp best good. I ran into Russell, ran like 20, 25, 26 minutes down the highway back towards Colorado.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Plop at this little hotel, go through my gear, try to fix all my poles and everything that got just thrown all over the place.
Yeah.
Get everything all set up there, and in rolls a couple trucks, couple old towns come rolling in. It's Jeremy and Tim. They were staying in the room right next to me. And dude, they welcomed me with, you know, just, hey man, how you doing? You know, and asking me to go out to dinner with them, you know, in the evenings. And
oh yeah.
Dude, it was those two were just from day one, just good people. I love me some JB. I love Tim. Those guys are just awesome people.
So Tim was actually the first person I met in kayak angling as well.
Nice.
I rolled up, like I've almost always had a van and had all my gear inside a van instead of nice. Like a trailer route. So I roll up to this lake, and Tim and Carrie are at the ramp, just getting ready to launch. And I just step out of my van. I'm like, hi, I'm new. I don't know what to do. Can I go fish with you guys? And that's literally how it happened. And Tim's like, yeah, let's go. So I
let's do it.
Kayak out, park my van, and we've been friends ever since.
That sounds like Tim, man. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. He's, I got a chance to, after meeting those guys there, I got a chance to stay with quite the crew up at Lewis and Clark.
Yeah.
When we were up there, I was in an Airbnb up there, and there was Tyler was there, Jordan, Jeremiah was there. Tim, JB, Mike De Bruin was there. I mean, what a crew, man. These guys, it was the entire Iowa crew was in this place, and they let this noob, you know, Colorado kid, you know, newbie hang out with them up there. It was so, so cool to meet everybody. And it was quite the experience for sure.
They're a good group. It's always an interesting time when we get together.
Yeah. You guys definitely do have a crew and that crew likes to take my money. So.
Oh yeah. We got to pay for the trip somehow.
That's right. That's right. So, dude, let's talk about Okoboji, man. One of the cool things that we're doing this year, we're really doubling down on working with local clubs and, you know, local by local, I mean state level, you know, and area level. We want to share in the success there. And we know that the way to do that is to work with the local clubs by offering up, you know, the killer venues that we're setting up this year. Like at Okoboji, we're going to be at the Arrowwood Resort. Super, super cool place that we're going to be able to have the award ceremony. So the Iowa Kayak Fishing Club, you guys get to use that for your awards as well. That's a, you know, our way of saying thank you, you know, and it's that scratching backs thing. You guys go out and promote the All-American for us that, you know, that your clubs, you know, just basically promoting your members to, you know, jump in with us out in this thing. We do the same thing for you guys. That's how we get this thing really blowing up. And I mean, Okoboji, bro, that has the potential to be like one of the best all year long. I mean, big numbers can come out of that section of water.
Oh, it's hands down one of my favorite places to have fish in Iowa. Like I think last year I put up just under 180 for 2 days and I didn't finish in the money. Like, it's insane.
Right. You got that damn Jordan Westerman running around up in there in those neck of the woods. We got to take him down.
It's kind of hard to beat a guy on his home lake.
Right, right. I mean, especially when he happens to be like the smallmouth whisperer that he is.
He is, yeah.
Guy's got a knack for sure. But that's so there is, you know, not for nothing. This is anybody who fishes that event knows about the canals, right? I mean, that's right. It is what it is. Right. I fished it one time, and within the first 10 minutes, I realized, there's the canals, and now I understand why, you know, it is what it is. But there's a good chance that those canals may not be as much in play. There's been some stuff going on where they've been limiting numbers, and what's really been happening up there that I know they're trying to – I don't know. Are they trying to – is it a protecting the fishery situation? Is it a –
So
dealing with the homeowners, what's going on?
What I got from the DNR when we had an event with Heartland Kayak Anglers there last year in the fall is there's invasive species of grass that are growing in certain areas, mainly the canals and the Triboji Circle and the harbor on west. And what they were doing was trying to minimize traffic so they could treat the grass and not have the infestation spread to the rest of the
Right.
So that's why they were trying to minimize access or restrict access to the canals.
Gotcha.
Yep.
So, and I don't know, is that going to be in play when we get there in May?
We'll see in May.
Right.
You know, I can't speak to it one way or another right now. Last time I talked to Kapaska, who is in charge of handing out permits, he had mentioned limiting access to it. But he had mentioned limiting access to it not because of the grass, but because of the amount of traffic in other tournaments that were there.
Right.
So to say they are off limits, like, I don't believe they are. But, you know, when you have 70 boats and 50 kayaks in there, it gets congested quickly.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, you know, hands down for sure, we'll be on top of this. We'll be working with you, probably me calling you and you and I chatting as we get closer to the event so that we can communicate that out right here on the podcast, on the Doc Talk, and we'll keep it flowing through all the Facebook channels and such. So that way everybody that's joining in on this, but yeah, man, all the IKFC members out there, absolutely check out the All-American, man. We want to have you guys here. We want to see you guys up on stage. For both, you know, for the All-American and for your guys' stuff, for sure. you know, to make sure that we're getting all that set in. We did find, I don't know what capacity, but that Fisherman's Outlet that's there in Okoboji.
Oh, that's heaven.
Right? They're going to be our tackle sponsor for this event.
Perfect.
So we're not sure what that means just yet, but they said, yes, we want to be a part of this. We originally had conversations with them about holding the awards at their shop. But there was a little question about space and yeah, you know, things of what we could do. So fast forward, I had opened up channels through the visitor center and the convention, the chamber, and we got connected with Arrowwood. Arrowwood said, we'd love to host you guys and have you here. So we're going to be set up there with them. There'll be food and drink available. I think that one is going to be available for purchase.
Okay.
That basically anglers can buy, you know, food and drink while they're there during the awards and such. But yeah, man, it'll be a good time. It's going to be that area is beautiful. I stayed there last year. That's going to be the one hardest part through this whole thing, Casey, is that I can't fish these events, brother. This is the classic is my national event. I get to fish that because Tyler's going to MC that one.
He's going to
take her because he's not fishing that. So he's going to take that role. I get to just jump in and go fish on the classic. So I'm stoked.
Have you ever fished, Truman?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Like several times in my boat, and it was pucker factor when I had a bass boat. In a kayak, I don't mind it at all. I love it because it's like, yeah, I've bounced off of more deadheads with my kayak.
Yeah.
my unlimited handles it pretty well, man. I can buzz around in there. So yeah, I don't mind Truman. Truman is it can be a finicky thing. It's the least Ozarkian out of all the Ozark lakes, in my opinion.
Okay.
It doesn't set up like the other Ozark lakes do in most cases. And I like the challenge. I like the fact that I've watched a guy win that thing on a buzzbait, you know,
yep.
And then I've seen other guys have to, you know, throw a quarter ounce finesse jig and drag it across the bottom at the, you know, entryways of all the creek channels. That's the only place they could find the, you know, substantially good sized ones. They weren't back anywhere. So it's cool that the, you know, depending on where you're at on the lake, it sets up pretty, pretty wild.
Yeah. It's different bodies of water from top to bottom. That's for sure.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah. Which arm you get on. It's a different critter for sure. And there are some banjo loving boat ramps that you can come across that are public land. But just be careful creeping up on those things when it's still dark out, because you might find a vehicle there.
Yeah, no, I just stick to well-lit areas when I'm down there.
Yeah, man, it's there's some cool, really off the beaten path areas that you can track down. Google Earth is your friend. Make sure you got that rolling. Well, cool, man. So you guys, when is your championship again?
Oh, it's in October. I believe
okay.
It's second weekend in October. I don't have.
Yeah, no worries.
Hold up in front of me.
Hey, man, if people want to know, they can go out to Iowa Kayak Fishing Club. Go check you out on Facebook there. Go hit you guys up. Yep. Make sure, folks, if you're watching here, make sure to go give them a follow. If you're in that neck of the woods, a couple states around, go fish with these dudes, man. Talk about some awesome people. And just flat out hammers, man. You want to test your skills? That'd be a good group to go fish against up there, and they'll welcome you in for sure, and take your lunch money with a grin. That's always a good thing for sure, brother. We can't thank you enough, man. For stopping by, taking time out of your busy schedule here. I'm excited for 24. I'm going to check out your schedule there because I'd love to come up there and join in and. See if I can catch in between a couple events when I'm on the road driving all over Tarnation. Maybe I can jump in one of yours up there.
Have you ever fished Brushy Creek?
The only thing I've ever fished in the state of Iowa has been Okoboji. Even when I lived like an hour from the border, I never got down there to fish.
I'm going to say, if you can make another tournament, come to Brushy.
Brushy? That's yep. A good one?
It's size-wise, you'll get... about as probably the same bags you'll get out of Okoboji.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
No kidding. That's pretty substantial.
It's an awesome lake. It's finicky. It can be really tough, but on its good days, it produces some giant bags.
That is too cool. That is way cool. Yeah. We'll have to, like I said, I'll have to, I'll jump out to Facebook, check out the schedule there, see where everything is looking, and who knows. I'm going to be coming up through there, man. We got three runs, Okoboji, La Crosse, Minocqua. Mm-hmm. So we're making that run up there for sure. And so we'll be driving through Iowa, through Des Moines several times. We'll be making that journey.
All right.
All right, buddy. Well, listen, man, hang out here for me. After we close this out here, and I'll chat with you when we finish all this up. Folks at home, thank you so much for watching another episode with us here. Don't forget, man, what drives this whole thing for us is those subscribes at YouTube, at the True Patriot Outfitters, of course, and the Paddle and Fin Network. Make sure you get those likes and follows down, but that subscribe at YouTube is the big one. That's where we could really use some help with that. That helps us get the mission out there for the TPO further and further along the way, and it really helps sell home those supporters of the TPO. Beyond the fact that it's a good mission, they also get some decent exposure piece there, and they should get exposure if they're helping us out. We appreciate all the love, all the support. We're happy to be here at the Paddle and Fin Network for sure. And as always, folks, tight lines, be safe.
Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois and the whole crew here at Duck Camp Dinners every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Birds up in the sky.
One of the most legendary shows in the outdoors is on Waypoint TV. Don't miss Primo's Truth About Hunting, Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.